Hey ladies, welcome to Boss Ladies Connect. I am so excited that you're joining us on this podcast where we encourage women and inspire them to fully walk in everything that they've been called to do. We believe that each person has been created with a specific purpose, and it is up to us to walk in it, to discover what it is, and to allow it to fully manifest in our lives. And so each week we have conversations that allow us to evolve and grow and to fully understand and embrace the purpose called on our lives. And so ladies, without further ado, let us get started. Hey guys, so this episode you're in for a real treat. We are talking with Anita Morrison Bowden, who is actually a relative of mine. She's actually my cousin, and I love when I'm able to connect with other women that are in my family that are doing some really, really phenomenal things. Now, I'm going to read her bio, but I have to absolutely warn you that this episode is so impactful. There are so many gems and so much information. Even I wasn't expecting to learn as much and to walk away with as much insight as I've been able to. So y'all just get ready. But Anita, she was born in rural North Carolina, and then she left in 1985 to attend St. Augustine's University. She returned back to the Raleigh area, better known as the Triangle of North Carolina. While she was at St. Augustine's, she majored in business management and she minored in psychology. She met her husband and married in 1977, and they are celebrating 25 years of marriage come 2022. She currently still resides in North Carolina, and she owns her own real estate firm. She also presently works for Meritage Homes, and she has worked in the new home sale business for over 20 years. She's been a phenomenal top producer in this industry, and she's going to share that journey with us. A little bit of interesting facts about her is that she loves to listen to audiobooks. Y'all know that's my thing. And she enjoys painting. She also loves to travel and is looking forward to the many cruises she's going to be doing with her husband in the future. The quotes that she lives by: when people show you who they are, believe them, and you live the life you create. All right, now, y'all get ready for this conversation. You can tell by these quotes that she lives by that we're about to really dive into some things. And so I'm so excited about this conversation. Without further ado, help me welcome Anita to Boss Ladies Connect. Hey guys, so I'm so excited as I am approaching my 200th episode. I'm so excited to be offering a masterclass webinar to help you maximize your voice, elevate your brand, and increase your influence through podcasting. Y'all, podcasting has been one of the absolute best things that I have done. There have been so many benefits beyond monetary that I have been able to gain from podcasting. I've been able to build collaborations. I've been able to increase my influence. I've definitely been able to elevate and maximize my voice. And I am going to talk to you about how to get started doing this very thing for yourself. So if you have a voice, if you have a message, if you have a story, if you have a brand, even if you are a professional in your field and want to be seen as the expert or have expertise and knowledge that you want to share, I absolutely encourage you to start your own podcast. We've all been given different gifts. We've all been given different purposes. And the brand and the message that you have deserves to be heard by other people, right? We have to begin to increase our influence. We have to begin to get the message and the brand and the purpose that has been placed on our lives outside of our four walls, right? Or our micro community, and allow the greater masses to hear it. So let me tell you a little bit about what you'll get with this masterclass webinar. This masterclass webinar is an e-course that will be teaching you how to start your podcast, how to use your podcast to elevate your message and your brand, how to repurpose the content, right? Repurposing is king, y'all. How to choose a podcasting host, how to monetize. We'll talk about marketing ideas. We'll talk about interviewing. I give interviewing tips. I have a bonus category where I go over interviewing tips. I talk about recording and editing and some of the things that I do as far as lighting, because I like to use video and audio, all about repurposing, okay? And I'll talk about the equipment and things that I use to allow me to be consistent and show up every week for you guys. I'll also talk about like getting your guests, vetting your guests, and the process that I use to do this. Listen, this is over 200 episodes worth of information that I have gathered and things that I have learned on my podcasting journey, and I'm absolutely sharing it with you. As a bonus, you will also get a podcast planner. This planner will help you break down your episodes. It will help you break down your topics, your questions, your ideas, your guests, their bio, all of the things that go into producing your podcast, right? And so I'm so excited to be offering this. If you are interested in maximizing your voice, elevating your brand, and increasing your influence, click the link in my show notes and purchase this masterclass. I'm so excited and I can't wait to hear your podcast when I go to my phone on the podcast platforms I use to be able to hear your podcast. All right, y'all, happy talking. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Boss Ladies Connect. I am so excited about today's guest. We have a special guest today. Anita is here. She's going to be sharing her story, her journey, and just talk a little bit more about what she's doing in the industry that she's in and why she loves it so much. And so, but before we get started, I absolutely have to say the reason why she's a special guest is because she is my cousin, y'all. So yes, help me welcome, Anita to Boss Ladies Connect. I always love when I can have family members on the podcast and we're able to share of our experiences and journeys. And so I've already gave them your bio and your resume of the things that you've been doing. But if you could share, well, say hello and then share a little bit about yourself that maybe we don't know.
Okay, so hi everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting, but I have to admit I'm just a little bit nervous. I guess one thing that you may not know is this is like the first time I've ever done a podcast. So I'm excited. My husband and I, years ago, we were asked to host like a TV show. Like this, the ministry that we were in, they would come on TV like at least every week. I don't remember if it was every day or so. But they had us to host it one time. And, you know, it was going to be on TV. And I was not as nervous then as I am now.
Really?
Yes, it was cool. It was cool.
Oh, that's an awesome fun fact. Me and Akita, my husband, we were on a news station talking about my book. And we fell in love with the studio. When we were on the studio, we were like, this is something we could do this all the time.
Right. Yeah, it's cool. That was cool. That was a fun experience.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'll have to have you back on to talk a little bit more about that. That was like, not everybody experiences that, but I absolutely enjoyed it when I was able to be on the news. I had my 10 minutes of fame.
Right. That was your first 10 minutes. I'm sure you have more coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my first 10 minutes. I receive it.
That's right.
So one of the reasons why I wanted to connect with you is because you've been doing a lot of things in the real estate space, but and I love to highlight and spotlight women who are in real estate. There's just so many different avenues of it. But I love to find or talk about the story behind it. So like, why do you love real estate? What was that thing that started you into this journey of moving in this direction? And so I'd absolutely love for you to share.
Yeah, it's funny. When I graduated, and that's been some time, but it won't take me that long. When I graduated from college, so I came from, you know, Maxon, North Carolina, small town, and I came to Raleigh. I went to school. I graduated from St. Augustine's College, and I got on that path quickly of, okay, I got to do something with my life. And, you know, I worked in retail, and then I ended up with a job as a corrections officer at the women's prison. You know, and I was like, okay, I'm straight now. I'm going to do this for 30 years and then I'm going to retire. But it was quick that was like, nah, I don't think I'm going to do this. But I was able to, you know, get the promotions. I left there. I became a surveillance officer. I left there. I became a probation officer, you know. So I moved up the ranks as high as I could until it was, I either become a supervisor or this is it for me. And I was at the top of my pay grade and it was like nothing. And I'm like, I wanted more. You know, I just wanted more. And I knew that working for the government was just not going to be it. Like, I don't know that, like my mother, my grandmother who raised us, you know, by the time I came along, she was at home. Like she went to do work sometime, but it wasn't, I don't have a memory that she left the house every day going to work. And my grandfather, you know, he had a store. I didn't realize until I was older that, you know, he was an entrepreneur, right? He had his own business. So listen, I just started to want more.
I just have to say, yeah, I think about that too, because I'm like, I know I used to go in there trying to get that soda pop or that pop and the candy. I'm like, there was a full, like an actual business happening on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Like for real, the vendors used to come and bring him supplies. And that didn't dawn on me as, you know, this man is doing his own thing. But anyway, so I'm here and I've got this job. I don't know kind of where I got that idea from that, you know, you get your state job and you work and you retire. It just wasn't for me. I thought I've got to do something. And now, you know, like 12 years later, I'm married. I'm at the top of this thing and I'm not happy with it. And in my career as a probation officer, part of what I had to do was I just go and visit the people that I was supervising, right? So I'd have to get in my car and drive around North Carolina, mostly Wake County, right? So when I'm going to these people's houses, I'm passing these neighborhoods with these new homes. And I just, something about it I liked. So I'd go and visit the model home. And it was sort of, it was disappointing that when I would do that, I didn't seem welcomed. Right. So I'm alone. Yeah, I'm at work. And that was, you know, one of the good things. I could just go in here. And every time I went in the house, you know, the person on the other side of the door, one, didn't look like me. And it seemed like I was a waste of time. You know, like, why are you even coming here? But if you want to look around, sure, go ahead. So, and I did. And I would often think, wow, I could do that. Like, I wonder how they did that. And so I started to research, you know, real estate. And turns out my husband owns a barbershop downtown. He's been downtown for years. And one of his customers was the VP of sales in a new home in this industry, right? He was working for a builder. And he talked to me about, you know, what it looked like. And I thought, okay, I can do this. Now, at the time, you didn't have to have a real estate license to do the job that I do. But I felt like I needed to do that because I want to know what I'm doing, right? I didn't know that. I really just didn't feel confident that I'd get the opportunity to do it if I didn't have something to offer. So while I was working as a probation officer, I went to school, got my license to be a real estate agent. I did it at night. Like the minute you join the class, everybody tells you, I've taken the test 8 times or you're not going to pass. It's going to be so tough. And I'm like, okay, God, that ain't me. Like, I'm not trying to hear that. And it was so consistent, you know, don't feel bad if you don't pass, you know, okay, no problem. I went to school, I took the class, I committed to the process, I passed the class on my first try, and I got my license.
Wow.
Yes.
You know what? I was just talking to one of my friends who just got her license, and she had a similar story. I think it was 10 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. She was going to school to get her real estate license. And I think passed that first test and was scheduled to take like the state test. Mm-hmm. And but people kept telling her, she was like, especially older people, they were like, oh girl, you're not gonna pass it. It's so hard. It's so hard. I couldn't pass it. It took forever. And she said, it made her afraid. And so she just didn't even try. She didn't even try. And so now here she is 10 years later. And she got her license last month.
Wow. Well, yay, she got them.
On the first time.
Wow. Yeah, see? You know, and back then we're smarter. Like, you're smarter,
yeah,
younger.
Yeah,
good for her. I don't know. I was at a place where you couldn't just tell me no. When people told me no, then I knew you need to mark them out. You know, just don't listen to him. And I just prepared to, I'm going to do this. Like, okay, sorry, this is your eighth time. Like, Letitia, every day someone was telling you, man, this is my fourth time. I think I'm going to do it again. It's amazing how so many people can be so negative in that one class. But I did it. And so after having, you know, gotten my license, I went to the state board. I finished the state board. And when I finished the test, I said, okay, I had a little extra time. I said, let me start over. And I went back to the beginning. I went back to the beginning, started reading questions. And by the time I got to the fifth question, I'd already changed three answers. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this. And I don't know if it's the same now, right? But you had to press enter and it says pass or fail. And so I just did it and I passed. So I was thrilled. And other than this, and I just went back to work and I continued to work. And my husband's friend, his name is Jesse Odoms, he gave me the opportunity to sit on site at one of his neighborhoods. It was like a closeout neighborhood. You know, when builders build these new neighborhoods and, you know, we sell 200 homes and we have like maybe three left, most times they'll give it to a real estate agent to list. But if you're like me and anxious to get this opportunity, he'll let you go sit on site. And so that's what I did. And I met a few people and I'm thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about, but this seems cool. This seems cool. And, you know, and now it's history. After I did that, I said, I'm going to find a job doing this work. And I came to my office and I Googled new home builders in this area. And everything came up. You know, I say Google because Google's been around like 20 years now, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what I did. So I Googled it, right? And this list comes up. So I went to all their websites. And if they were hiring, I did an application. And Beezer Homes was the first new home builder that I worked for. And it was funny. I had done an application. I spoke to the sales manager and we talked about setting up an interview. And we talked a couple of days and he told me to call him back and I did and I couldn't get him. And then I found out that he had been fired, that the company was going through a restructuring of sorts, because they do that a lot in new homes. He'd been fired, right? But then they told me when I called that the lady taking his place, they told me her name, and they said I could leave a message for her to call me back. So when I got her voicemail, when I left my message, I said to her, her name is Allison. I said, hi, Allison, this is Anita Bowden. I said, you don't know me. I said, but I'm your next multi-million dollar producer. I said, and you don't even have time to talk to me. I said, when you get a chance, call me.
Wait.
And she did.
Wait, okay, so I want to go back because there was something you said before you said that multi-million dollar producer, which we're going to talk about, but you said that you didn't know what you were talking about, but you were like, I like this. And I think that's so interesting because I think a lot of us deal with imposter syndrome, especially when we're starting, well, at many different stages, but when we're starting out and we don't really know, but we know that there's something. I'm just wondering, what do you think it was about you that you were able to move past that feeling of like, don't really know what you're doing, so you probably need to sit down.
Right. You probably should just go back to being a probation officer.
Right.
What I know is I could, if you teach me how, I'll do it. Right. What I knew is I may not know what I'm talking about now. You know what I think it was? Well, because I knew I could learn it. Right. But I was never afraid of saying, I don't know. So somebody came and asked me a question. Listen, I don't know. However, if you give me your name and your number, I will find out and I will call you. And I think that made it easier to not know and still want to do it. Because I'm thinking for sure, I mean, just like when I had a job in college at Bojangles, y'all can show me how to do this, right? So if you show me how to do it, I know I could do it. So I think it was just knowing that they have to train you. They have to show you how to do it. There was no reason to say no. I wouldn't quit. If I got the job, I would do it.
You know what? I love that. And I hear, like, because I'm speaking to myself too, because I go through the same thing. I'm like, I don't know that answer. But it's pride. Because you said, not even, you know, you weren't afraid to be like, I really don't, you know, I don't know, but I can find out, you know. And I think I'll speak for myself. Sometimes for me, it is that desire to want to know everything, to want it to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But then that's also kind of like wrapped up a little bit in pride and not really being able to be like, well, I don't have the answer, mm-hmm. you know? And so I love that. And so you called her and told her that you were going to be her top $1 million. Did I say it right? Top $1 million.
No, I said the next multi-$1 million producer. Yes. And you're not even there. And she called me back. She called me back. And I had already talked to, you know, Jesse, our friend, and he'd given me, you know, pointers and things. And she set up an interview. We interviewed. She was very kind. You know, I took note of the gum that she was chewing. And then that day when I left, I went to the store, got a pack of gum, I got a thank you card. You know, I did all the right things. But I just was ready. I was tired. Like, I wanted more. And they couldn't tell me no. Like, I trust God. I did all the affirmations. This is for me. And I was excited. I was excited at the possibility. So I think it was hard to let myself think, you can't do it. They're gonna say, okay. And they did. So I don't know what it was. I was glad though.
I love that. I love that. But I think you've given some even practical tips. So you said that you did your affirmations and you paid attention, like, to what was happening when you were in that interview. So you paid attention to, like, what she was doing. I thought you was about to say you went and bought some gum so you could chew the gum because you was about to be.
No.
But still, that stuff is important. Right. You know, you mm-hmm. went the extra mile, and that is just super, super encouraging. And what I have learned as I have been in the entrepreneur space is that mindset is everything. Mindset is everything. Totally. And like, you got to have it right up here before you can really achieve anything. And like, that's the biggest battle.
Yeah.
And doing stuff afraid. And so I've kind of learned to, like, that is so important that I have to take that time every morning to make sure that this is right together before mm-hmm. I get started. Cause you're going to get a lot of no's in this, in life,
in this business. In life and in this business. Right. Yeah.
So yeah. What happened after that? So she gave you the job and then.
So, you know, it's funny because they did give me a job and then it became, okay, wow, they gave me this job, but now I got a husband at home. And the thing about this job is, they don't pay you unless you sell a house, right? So I've never sold a house before. And I want to get this job. Now I have it, but now there's a thing of, well, what if I don't sell a house? And, you know, what does that look like and how long is it going to take? So I had to now have this conversation with my husband. Of course, he knew the path I was on. He was very supportive. And now that I have the opportunity, it's like, okay, babe, like, for real, they are going to, they offered me a job. I can start this date, and they're going to give me, I think they still do the same thing now. And I started this back in like 2000. And they, at that time, even till today, they will give you $3,000 a month until you have a house that can close, right? Well, they really do it for 2 to 3 months, depending on the builder. And so it's like, okay, babe, they said, okay, it's up to you though, because I'm not gonna leave a job and not have any resources and bring that strain to you. I just didn't wanna do that. But he was like, please go for it. I got this. Like, and it's like, okay, yay. I've not regretted it a day since. So, and I went to work. I loved it. And I still do it today.
Ah, this is encouraging. I'm inspired. So how long did it take between you starting to work and you actually closing on a house?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when they offered me the job, she was very honest with me. And she said to me, we have a neighborhood in Fuquay Marina. It's not done well. We don't know why. Nothing has sold in like 9 months. If you want this job, you can have that neighborhood. Okay, where do I sign? Like, I was crazy enough to, I didn't know what that meant. My husband said, okay, let's go. And it's so, because I really believe that we have the life that we create. Like, I've always believed that. And I just was like, okay. And when I went to that neighborhood, of course, she told me where it was, and I was allowed to go there before saying, okay, yes, I want it. But I didn't, I'm going. I went to the neighborhood as a show of faith, you know, to her, I'm going to do this. But when I went to that neighborhood, I just began to talk to God about all the people that were coming to see me, all the houses that I was selling. Didn't know how to do any of it, but I knew those are things that I needed to do. And so that's what I did. I rode through the neighborhood and I just began to talk to my customers and thank God that it was going to happen. She said, okay. I went to the neighborhood. My first weekend at work, I had two couples in to buy houses. I'm like, okay, wow. This is cool. I know a neighborhood that you tell me nobody has been in this long. And the first weekend I got two sales. And of course, I had to wait for them to close, which worked out. They were going to give me $3,000 for like 2 months, might have been three, but two. And they had to build the house. And it's always taken about 4 months for the house to build. So maybe there was like a month of lapse. But then after that, 2 months later, I had closings. And that continues, right? After you sell the first two, it's easier. After I did that, it's been great.
Listen, it was almost like God was waiting for you to come mm-hmm. into that neighborhood mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to start populating that space. Come yeah. on, Jesus.
I love it. I love it. It was great. It was amazing. And I'll always be partial to Beezer Homes. But yeah, it was good. It was good. It was fun. Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so encouraging. I mean, to me on so many levels, I'm like, I should have been had this conversation. But for like divine appointments, like, you know, and just walk and stepping out in faith. And then like you did so many things, like you declared and decreed the thing when you were there praying and speaking over it and walking in belief as if it already happened. Yeah. And then you just following suit with it. And I feel like that is like the hardest thing, like faith, that's what faith is about. And it can get so difficult because of what we see, you know, as opposed to what we know or what we're supposed to believe.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tisha, I think, you know, I don't know. I think for me, like, I don't know what, the one thing I know about my life, I think the one consistent I have is I've always been a pretender. Like I had a great childhood, you know, I wasn't abused or I had a beautiful, loving family and they gave me what they knew to give me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it was, my grandmother was later in years before I began to hear her say she loved me, but I knew they did. You know what I'm saying? But I think somewhere I've always had this crazy imagination And I was never afraid to use that. I do that today. I think doing that for me makes faith easy. It makes my walk of attaining things that I want easy, because I really believe that anything that's going on in my life, I allow that. I create that. So I focus on things in my life that I want. I don't let stuff bombard me that doesn't support my joy, doesn't support the things that I want. Like some people think it's a little bit extra, but like, I don't want to listen to the news because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know that somebody got killed. I don't want to know there was a shooting in the mall. Why? Because that's not really, it's not my business at all. And just because it's on TV now, now it becomes my news. So it's easy for me. I mean, I love listening to audiobooks now. Of course, I didn't have that when I was younger, but I would always just pretend I would lose myself in the space I wanted for my life. And that's faith to me. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't going around telling people, hey, this is what I'm doing, and it's not what's happening. But for myself, I just found sanctity and joy in knowing this is what I'm going to do. Right? Doesn't mean I'm not going to go through stuff, that life isn't going to give me lemons sometimes. But I think I learned early to just not focus on things that I don't want. Like, I really think it's a choice.
That is so good. My girlfriend, I'm about to fall off the chair. When this airs, I'm going to be sending it to her, because she was just talking about how imagination, how important imagination is with the concept of faith and being able to visualize a thing. And so, and we're just like discovering this, because you're kind of taught like daydreaming is for like children, you know, and you know, you grown now, stop daydreaming. You got to focus on the facts and and on those things. I can't remember the scripture, but somewhere in the Bible it talks about how God framed the earth or someone in his image, right? And so she was talking about how the framing of that means that there's was like a picture, like a visualization that he had. And so how important it is for us to visualize these things. And I think I'm just now really getting to the space of visualize, like understanding that power of visualization, because I remember in harder times of my journey, especially like my entrepreneur journey, when you do not see what you planned to happen, it being really, really like just feeling really hard. But it was because I was missing the whole piece of like my mindset, of imagining, of affirming certain things. And then the things that I'm affirming, actually visualizing that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, once I started doing that, it made the bumps in the roads easy. Like, it's still good, because I'm mm-hmm. gonna get X, Y, and Z. You know, mm-hmm. And my mind is like so convinced of that, that these things can be happening in the natural, but it's just like, okay, but what we're doing right. is, and where I'm mm-hmm. going is, and so I wish I would have learned that a long time ago. So those listening today, this is like a gem. So I want to ask you, as a part of this journey, we've talked about how there are challenges, there are ups and downs. What was one of the challenges that maybe you've experienced during this process, and how did you overcome that?
So I think one of the biggest challenges I think would be like in 2007, 2006, when the market kind of imploded. Okay, the balloon burst, and because nobody's buying houses right now. And that's what I do. So if I don't sell a house, I don't get paid. You know, they were laying us off. You know, and then I do what I need to do, right? Because one of my things is I never wanted to be a burden or source of stress for my husband, though he would never say that. But, you know, it takes like common sense, you know, bills got to be paid, food's got to be prepared. And if I'm not helping with that, then that's an added weight. And I never want it to be that. So, you know, I found a job. There was a time where I took a job as I went back to work for the state, just brief, because I can't do nothing, right? Nobody's buying houses. I need to find something to do. And I found something to do, and this is not going to last. So I'm going to need to get back to what I wanted to do, because I was just not happy there. That was a point of I needed to do something. I want to, you know, contribute. I'm going to go do this. But I always knew I would come back. So I think in that moment, there was shock and like disbelief and, oh God, what am I going to do? And I think I got away from what I knew. And I started to look at my circumstances. And, you know, after doing that for a little while, it's like, okay, this is not me. Like, get yourself together. You know, trust God. Do what you've always done. And I think maybe that was like a year. And even in that time, I don't say I was stressed or anything like that. I just got off course. I think I just got off course. And then I just began to tell myself the things that I've always known. And I just came right back to what I knew. People are buying houses. So instead of saying, well, they're not buying houses. Yeah, well, they are, right? They really are. They're just not buying 20 a month. Now they're probably doing like 4 or 5. So now you just got to get yourself back in the right space and you'll get your share of that. So I just think for a while, I got away from what I knew. And to come back, I just refocused and started to put those things that I know works for me back in place. Instead of saying what's not happening, I begin to say what is happening. You know, it's like they say, I'm not sure what it was, but I think maybe Mother Teresa was like, you can't have an anti-war rally. You have to have a pro-peace rally. The thing that you fight against is the thing you create. Whether you believe it or not, you're creating it, because you can't say, I probably shouldn't say, but you know, in church, they like to teach us, some churches, they'll tell us that we want to bind the enemy. No, I'm going to leave him alone. I'm going to go pull for the things. I'm going to loose the power of God, right? I'm not going to give my attention to those things that I don't want, because if you give your attention to it, that's what you're growing in your life. And that's what I did in that moment, because it was kind of like in real estate school, everybody's saying, you're not going to pass, you're going to do it a few times. But when the market crashed, everybody was saying, oh, wow, you know, we're going to get laid off and nobody's going to buy houses and we're going to have to do. And I bought into that for a minute. And then I, okay, God, forgive me. And I went back to the place where I know he is. And here I am.
I love that. Yes, I love that. I think there has been many of times I'm like, oh girl, you're going to go to Target.
Right. So I'm not above that, but.
I'm not, yeah, because I'm like, this don't make no sense, you know, but then it's like, now, you know, you would not even be a good employee at this point. Like they,
yeah. We're going to be tapping you on the shoulder, be like, yeah, it's okay.
Like, you stop telling people where they can go and do stuff better and how they should.
Right,
so
right.
I had to come like to a place where I think also like not looking back, not mm-hmm. looking back on stuff and just being okay with what was. So like even you were doing 20 sales a month, you know,
yeah,
and yes, now yes. It doesn't look like that right now. And then just being okay with, okay, well, this is the present, but we're going to be focusing on what on going forward mm-hmm. instead of like always looking back. But I used to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. I used to be able to do that. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. So I know that at one point you had your own company.
Mm-hmm. So New Homes is fun. It's lucrative. It's great, right? There's a lot to like. Now, it's work, but I love it. Like, I wouldn't trade. If I got to work with someone, this is what I'm going to do. But the time is a lot, right? The time that we have to give is a lot. And I was younger. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And I needed a break. I just wanted a break. But when I took that break, I knew I wanted to do real estate, right? And this is what I'm going to do. So let's find a way that I could do it a little bit and not have to use the time that, I got to go to work 10 hours a day. And the days that you're off, you're still working because they got questions or you need, you know. So I decided that when I left, I would just get my own firm because I'm not too good at working for people. Like, I don't want to do it. Not that way. Like the job that I have, though I have an employer, we spend the majority of our time alone. So it's great. It's not, I don't want to go sit in a room full of people or go in your house. I don't want to do that. So I went, took the steps to get my own license because I'd done it long and I know what to do. General brokerage is a little different than new home sales. So when I decided to do my own firm and I just took a step back from new homes, I went to work. I joined the Keller Williams team because I wanted to make sure I was aware of, you know, the differences because I didn't want to get out there and get myself in a mess. And so I went and they have a really good training, or they did at that time. And so I went through that for about a year and then I left and, you know, hung my license in my own space so that I could do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it and still, you know. Now, I will say that working for yourself, it can be tough. It can be tough because, you know, in my case, I was trying to take a break. So I waking up at 12 and, you know what I'm saying, staying up to 3 o'clock in the morning because you don't watch TV.
He was on vacation work.
Right. That's what it was. I didn't know. I'm like, okay, babe, I'm gonna keep working, but I'm gonna just work for myself. And but babe coming home like, well, you ain't cooked because you've been here all day. Like, so I think that was challenging because I really enjoyed vacation work. And but I had to talk to myself, okay, you know, what you gonna do now? Certainly you can do this, but you cannot do it too. You can just be home. You know, I was semi-retired and I eventually, you know, was like, okay, come on. Cause I knew I could do it. I just was vacation work. I didn't want to do it. So I had to really, okay, girl, get yourself together. And I had to go, I had to follow the path. You know, I had to make my list. I'm going to call this many people every day and do the work. I had to just make myself do the work, right? For me, it was a little easier because I had a farm. I've been selling new homes for years. So I have a ton of people I can reach out to that knew me because I sold them their house. I just wasn't reaching out to them. You know, I just was like, it's vacation. I'm not really working. You know, but eventually I got it and I, you know, I started to make the calls and, you know, but that was tough because it's so easy to just not do anything. And then your savings start changing because you're right. Not working.
Then when the money stops coming, you'd be like, ooh.
Okay.
I need to do something.
Right. You can't ask. I ain't gonna ask babe for nothing because I had it, but okay, so go sell a house. So, you know, then I got disciplined. I had to, you know, I just followed the path after a while. I thought, because I did that for 3 years. I mean, then I did get back to work, but the first year was fun. I just was relaxing. I just relaxed but I got back to work and, you know, so I don't say lightly, if you want to do real estate, I always say people, if you want to work in real estate, if you can do on-site, it's the best, but I understand it's not that easy to get the job. You know, this is a cliquish industry. There is more of us. And I mean that people that look like us, there are more opportunities for us now, but it's not that easy to get into this work. So the other option is general brokerage, and it can be very good, but you have to be disciplined. You have to know the path and you have to be disciplined. It's not for the faint of heart.
Definitely. You know, I want to ask you about the power of real estate. So I feel like I didn't really... My mindset around real estate up until like recently, past couple of years maybe, was get a house and you have arrived. Like you have gotten the house, you have arrived, and you know, make sure that you make those payments every month, and then 30 years, you won't have to make them.
Right.
And I wasn't taught. Like I actually have Robert Kiyosaki's whole thing. Yeah, and I got a little bit encouraged, but I don't think there wasn't a lot of people my age, my race, working in that space, you know? And so I think for me, I didn't really understand the power of real estate and the power of equity and the power of all those things. Was there a point in your journey that you really began to understand, like, exactly? Because you also hinted to the fact that it's a difficult industry to get into, which it is. And I feel like, especially in our communities, there's not a lot of knowledge, information, even though the internet is accessible. But if you don't know what to search for, then, you know, you're not going to know what you should be looking for. But was there a point a point in the journey where you begin to understand that this is like a wealth builder outside of your commission, or maybe it was a commission that, you know, did that for you?
Yeah. So I think it was a little of both for me. It was kind of early to midway that I realized, wow, this is really it, right? Like, because, so what happens on these, we have sales teams, right? My coworkers, you know, everybody's working in their neighborhood and everybody's making money and doing whatever they do. And I begin to see how a lot of my colleagues, because there's only like one other one on the team that looked like me. And then whenever other places I would see myself was like in the office doing, you know, the other minuscule type work. But it was interesting that, you know, they were buying homes not to live in. Wow, I should check that out. Like, you know what I'm saying? For real. Because Tisha, like, you know how there's not a lot of people that look like us and there's not a lot of knowledge, but even today, and that's now, that's still the same. Like, it saddens me, still the same. And the unfortunate is, like, I'm all about responsibility. And I think, unfortunately, we're hard to talk to, right? We are, I don't even want to, it's such a cliche, but there's some truth in it. We are our own worst enemy. I take accountability for me, right? I cannot make excuses for what's happened or not happening in my life. And like, when I'm at work, a couple comes in my office and the interaction that I have when that couple looks like me is very different than when they don't. And I don't know. I don't know why we're so guarded. I don't know what we're afraid of. And it makes it hard. Like, I can't help you if you don't let me. Like, we're so afraid of, I don't know what we're afraid of. I don't know. People come in my office, you know, there's stuff I'm gonna ask you. Like, I'm not gonna ask you how much money you make, or I don't need to know that. But when I ask you if you talk to Patricia at Crown Mortgage about what you can afford and what that looks like and where you go from there, you gotta be able to tell me the truth. But we don't wanna do that. So it's hard for me if I can't get you past buying and what it takes to buy a house for yourself. I certainly can't get you to the place where now you can, let's pull that equity out and buy another house and trust that somebody's going to come live in it and pay that for you. And then now we can do that again, right? Mm-hmm. I can't get you there if I can't even get you to talk to me about just your life. Mm-hmm. I was never a slave. Thank you, God. I know it's real. I know it was real. It was terrible. But what I also feel like I know is that the people, our ancestors who went through that, they don't want to hear us complain about what they went through. We didn't go through it. We have some of what they suffered for. And we, I feel like, we don't take advantage of the opportunities that we have. We're more comfortable saying, well, this is what happened, and using an excuse as to why I can't. So I saw it early. I still see it. When I feel like there's an opportunity to share, I do it. I encourage, because there are some things stacked against us. There are. But if you know that you got stuff in your credit, it's easier than you think to fix. It's easier. You're going to have to pay the bill. Let's just do that. Right? Because, they might not be buying Tim's no more, because that's back in the day. But, we do what we want to do.
Right.
We spend money where we want to spend it, when we want to spend it, how we want to spend it. If you got a $650 doctor bill that somebody already told you that, oh, that doesn't matter. No, it matters. They do look at that, right? And when you try to tell them about resources or programs, or we just don't want to do it. And I don't know what I can do. If you're not willing, I don't know.
There's definitely a fear factor. And then there's also this thing where even sometimes, I'm not gonna say everyone, but some people who have actually achieved or have gotten the knowledge and understand, it's almost like, well, you gotta go figure it out. Like,
right.
I'm not gonna share the information with you. I'm not gonna share the knowledge with you because like, you might take something from me, or I don't know where that whole mindset or mentality comes from, but I know something that, me and my husband have like agreed upon, that, we want to be a part of our legacy, is that, we want our kids to be able to benefit from our ceiling and not from our floor, and like have to start all over again,
right,
from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And so that requires us, and we haven't done this the whole time. We was busy just raising them,
Right, right.
That requires us to take on some responsibility of educating them about credit, about certain things, about real estate, so that when we are gone and whatever we've left, you actually know how to execute it, or you know how to let that ceiling take you to the next level. And so I just feel like other cultures do that for each other. They leave a ceiling for other people the next generation to build from. And then it just keeps going. But I feel like we just keep starting from the bottom.
Yeah, it is sad. And it's really sad. It's really sad. And we can't, and you're right. Part of it is we're afraid, we don't know. But we have to become a little more trusting, and we have to be willing to share, because you're right. When some of us think we've arrived, now everybody else is beneath you. And so, yeah, there's that too. But like, there's so much, there's so much more that we can do. And it is easier now than I think it's ever been. And you just have to, I do believe though, if that's something that you desire, then believe God, it'll come to you, right? You'll meet the right people that will tell you the right things, and you'll make those steps and create that for your, because now, like anybody that owns a house now that they've had for more than a year, they're sitting on equity, that this is your opportunity to do that. Now is your opportunity to make something happen. But you can't be frivolous and all that kind of stuff. You gotta be smart. And I like to think if you bought a house, then you pretty much are. You've gotten the basis, but you're right. You need the knowledge.
Need the knowledge. Yeah, I definitely. And that's one of the reasons why, as a part of my platform, I wanted to be a teaching space. And so I know that the first time you hear the video, you probably won't get it the same time. And so I know it's a consistent thing, you know, and the home buying seminars and all those different things. But at least the information that I have, I'm sharing with you. Now, what you choose to do with it is really ultimately on you, but I'm always going to, you know, to share of that information. So there was something else that you said. I'm trying to remember what I wanted to say about it, but it'll come back to me. No, I think that is really, really good. And I can go on and on about building generational wealth for our families. And I say for me, I always teetered with like, oh, we should probably get some real estate, or, oh, we should probably, you know, do this. But then it was always that allure of, well, I'm gonna take all my equity and get a car. Yeah. there is some discipline, right? That is required. There is a, you know, focus on the long term, like not always looking at the short term things and looking at like long term and being willing to make, that's another thing. Like how many people are willing to make the sacrifices and be disciplined to, what is the saying? To not have now so that you can have later.
Later, you just, it's like what's important to you. What's important to you? Because I just, like, I think I'm what is it? My husband and I like to say, I'm living in the second quarter now. Like, I'm like 4 minutes into the third quarter. And I see things different, you know, I get it. And so that I'm gracious to younger people who don't know or seem that, you know, you can't tell them what they need to be doing. But I feel like, you know, once you realize what is it you want, what's important, you know, because social media is a lot. Social media is a lot, and hey, it can be beneficial. It's, you know, but I think the minute that you start to govern your life by what's there and what that looks like, and you compare yourself, that you're headed the wrong way. So, yeah, I want to be Insta famous or that stuff, then I do think it's important to have, you know, the latest jewelry and the nicest car and the pretty clothes and all that stuff. But then when you get that, okay, what do you have, right? And the way I feel, my joy is my most important thing, right? So would I feel a little bit happier if I drove a new Lincoln Aviator? Yeah, I just don't want to spend the money for that. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's going to feel just like that Explorer. It's the same thing, right? But that took me making a choice that's discipline. I don't need that. I'd rather fly to Bali in first class than to drive. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what you want. You can achieve anything you want in your life. You just have to tell yourself you can and stop talking about why you can't. And I think if we start, for me, it had to be the little things. It was simple. From my little childhood, I could just pretend that it's not what I don't like, it's what I like. It's not that I got to stay outside in the mud till mama say come in our house. You know, I didn't want to go. I was lazy. I was a lazy child. I didn't want to be outside. I want to sit in the air conditioner. But you couldn't do that. Well, I'm going to pretend that I'm out here in the air conditioner. So everything was always good. You know what I'm saying? You just got to realize what's important and be honest that having this Louis Vuitton, or if I save, I might could buy a house. You know what I'm saying? We just gotta, I don't know. We're just not, I don't know. I just, every day I see us and I want so much more for us. It's not changing, right? It's gonna be, if we think it's hard now, it's gonna get worse, you know? So at some point we've got to dial in and make just make a different choice, make a better choice. That's it. I could go for days.
No, I love it. What they say, yesterday's dollar is not today's dollar. So you need to just do it. But yeah, I love this. This was really, really, really good. I want to give you the opportunity before we go to, I guess, give, you know, maybe one piece of advice or one thing that you've learned throughout this journey that you want to share with someone else. It could be another realtor or another entrepreneur or just a woman in general. Yeah, anything that you want to leave us with before we go?
I guess that I would say, certainly if somebody wants to do this work, don't tell yourself you can't, right? I think you get this opportunity by believing that it's there for you, right? I think it is difficult. It can be difficult to get in, but as I say that, I just did it. I made some calls and I believe God and it happens, right? So it's not impossible. I think more general for me is if I had to give advice to people, it's really to believe in, you know, the Bible tells us as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Like the Bible says, if you ask, it's given. If you knock, it's open. If you seek, you'll find. Like, those things are so common that we lose sight of what it really means. And for me, it really does mean I start my day, when I awake, I close my eyes again, and I manifest joy. I tell myself the things that I'm so happy about in my life. It doesn't matter if I had an argument with my husband the night before. It doesn't matter if, you know, I had a closing that didn't take place. I tell myself the things that I'm so happy about. And I want to get myself in that space so that as I move through the day, that's what's going to happen for me. Good is going to come. Why? Because I'm not focused on negativity. I really believe if you write, you know, have a gratitude journal or know the things that you want and just find joy all the time, that is what comes, right? You get, the more you do, the more you create. If you're always negative, the hypochondriac that says people who are sick all the time, it's not a mistake. It's because you always find a reason for something to be wrong. And that's what you're going to continue to have. Versus if you always find a reason for something to be right, that is what you can have. So I will share one story and then I'm done. So here's, Clarina, my aunt, Daphne, Corina, twins. Yes, because y'all the same place, but you twins, right? But she was like my mentor in a way. Like I always looked up to her. She, when I was younger, she had the life that I wanted to emulate, right? She was happy. She loved God. I wanted that. And she helped me to begin to see how you have what you say. And there's this teaching I would listen to, and they would say, like, you gotta be in a space that you know, just get happy, like, just that simple, just be happy. And it's easy to say, well, okay, say, like, I want a chocolate milk, but I don't have money to buy it, so I'm gonna think about chocolate milk, and somebody's gonna bring me chocolate milk. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, that's not true. That's not how life works. Well, try it and see, right? That's what the teacher would say, try it and see. So a couple of years ago, I used to, and I still do sometimes, I volunteer to work the polls for people vote, right? So a few years ago, I worked an election. It wasn't like a major election. It was like the whole day, only 200 something people came. It's just like for city council, whatever. So I was there. So when you go do those things, you spend the day, you arrive at like 6:30 in the morning, and you don't leave till like 7:30, almost 8 o'clock at night. You can't use your phone. You can't talk to your family. You can't do anything. You just sit in a room with a bunch of strangers that now become your friends. So we're spending the day there, and I'm listening to this teaching, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, can I really have what I think about? Can I really create stuff in my life? And I spent the day there and I began to think about, wow, I would love to have lasagna when I get home and my husband makes the best lemonade. I wish he would do that. And I began to sit in that space because nobody's coming to vote. So I'm sitting there and I am literally excited about when I get home, I'm going to have lasagna and I'm going to have a nice tall glass of lemonade. Now, my husband knows nothing about this. I don't even know if he's going to cook. But when I got home, my husband made lasagna and lemonade. And it's like, oh my God. And it was so simple. It was so simple, Tish, but it worked. And then it was like, okay, you can't stop me now. It's simple. And I had to start, I would say to anybody, just try it. Certainly don't start with a lottery win of $1 million. Start with some little stuff that you can handle, right? And watch God move. Just trust God and you can do and achieve and be and do or have anything you want for your life. That's what I would say. You know, it's not hard. It's as hard as we make it. If don't say it's hard, say it's easy. Let's just do different. Let's think different. Create different. It's hard because you create that. Say it's easy. Say you have the answers and trust God and just get happy about your life. Okay, I'm done.
That was so good. It's talking about the power. I was reading this book, Charles Capps, God's Creative Power, and just the power of your words. Like you literally speak forth the things that you're going to experience. You manifest those things by the stuff that you're saying. So that was so good. And shout out to Aunt Clarina, because yes. I wrote about her in my book. I could, when I was little, I thought she was an angel. Okay.
She was
glowing, and she, I remember she had like all white on, a white dress, and I was like, this is an angel.
Love her. Love her. She's a sweetheart.
But thank you so much for being on Boss Ladies Connect. This has been so good. So many different ways to dissect this information that you share with us today, and I can't wait for it to release.
And so thank you.
Yay.
Ladies, did you enjoy that episode or what? Did this episode speak to you in some kind of way? I would absolutely love to hear about it. Y'all know it does my heart good when you subscribe and you share this podcast with someone else that you know can absolutely benefit from it. Y'all, we are out here connecting, walking in our purpose, and encouraging each other along the way. I love meeting with you every week, and I'd love to stay further connected. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Tisha_talks and to visit my website, www.tishatalks.org. You'll find the podcast, you'll find other videos, and you'll find other courses and classes and workshops, conferences, the list goes on and on to the things that we are currently doing so that we can further connect beyond this weekly podcast. So ladies, without further ado, I want you guys to walk fully in everything that you've been called to, align your passion with your purpose, and go out there and get everything that has your name on it. Talk to you later.